Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to talk a bit about some of the practical tactics that Jamila discussed, in some cases from a theoretical construct. She mentioned that this campaign has been underway for 3 years, particularly with Walgreens, and we came in last year in partnership with the CDC and HHS. I'm with HMA Communications, and we're a health communications firm in Washington with primarily government contracts, and we've been contracting with the CDC now for about 10 years with respect to the Hispanic market and vaccinations. And last year, we moved from just Hispanic to African American and Native American populations because there are so many unvaccinated within those populations. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the myths, some of what has been said already, but from a real grassroots perspective, because this campaign works with partners who are trusted by the target populations, and we'll talk a little bit about who some of them are and some of the case studies, because we feel that we know with African Americans, for example, historically, there are concerns with government or concerns with medical profession, and recognizing that we use people who are the voices, if you will, to the targets to tell them it's okay, to let them know why it's safe, to let them know the correlation between, say, having the flu and having a chronic condition and what that can do to you, even as Jamila said, death. And it's been working. It is a process. And just to background a little bit more, I want to thank HHS and the CDC because it's the National Influenza Vaccination Disparities Partnership that this all came from, and it's the vision of HHS and the CDC to address this issue among these three populations. I want to also mention Acacia Salati, who's not here, who heads the White House Office for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, because it's through that office that a lot of the secular and faith-based institutions are engaged in tackling this flu epidemic in some cases within these communities. And we partner with all of these entities. We all work together to address this key problem, to get more people within these three populations vaccinated. I also want to also preface by saying a little bit about my background. I come from two disciplines that were part of the creation of the model that we're using for the African American sector. I have an MSW and my concentration is community organization and social planning. So that gives me the sensitivity to engaging people at all levels of a community in tackling the problems that impact the whole community, not just the family. I decided after I got the master's in social work with that concentration that in a lot of my work, I wasn't able to really influence some of the decision makers on some of the great things that were happening at the community level. And I found that the way to influence was to get the media gatekeepers to tell the stories that it gave credibility. So I got a master's in public relations such that many of those stories that would otherwise go untold, because in many cases within those communities you only hear negative stories, were given voice. And so I blend that because this campaign does involve working not just with the stakeholders who are trusted by the populations, but then getting the minority press in particular to tell the stories about the good work that's happening through this campaign. So, in terms of the objectives of this session, and I'm repeating a lot of what Jamila has said already, so I just want to, where possible, interject the stories from those communities that support what's been said already. Sorry. So we want to identify the barriers, particularly within the African American community, that impact the low rates. We want to talk about the importance of just what I mentioned, the community engagement and the outreach strategies that will drive enhanced flu uptake. And we want to talk about the importance of these linkages In many cases, some of these individuals would normally not even work with each other. In some cases, particularly when working with grassroots people, they don't even like the city health departments, but yet we now have them working in concert with each other toward these shared goals. And now, the campaign started last year, as I mentioned, and sometimes these stats look small, particularly when you're looking at how many people, African American, were vaccinated last year. But I want to tell you it's a lot that went into those numbers, and so we recruited 49 partners. This is last year, not this year. And we did outreach in 30 markets. We coordinated 28 promotional events, and you see the data, so I'm not going to repeat what's already there. But I want to say when you conversely look at the Hispanic market, it put the African American market to shame. And keep in mind the Hispanic market, it's been done for 10 years now, for one thing. There was history. But in terms of history, there was a different kind of history, too. In many of these markets, how did I recruit these stakeholders? Several ways. I went through national organizations that had a local presence, for instance, the NAACP, the National Coalition on Black Civic Participation, the National Council of Negro Women. All of these markets have local affiliations of nationals. I also went through churches. I went through the Baptist General Convention. I went through Church of God in Christ at the national level to hone in on the local levels. In some cases, I got referrals from people that I knew in different markets. And in most cases, many of our partners had misconceptions about getting vaccinated. They didn't want to get vaccinated. They followed the same myths and assumptions. But we motivated them, and we used always our stats that relate to the high incidence of African-American deaths, unavoidable deaths, and we'll talk about some of those myths later on as well. And that said, you see the stats from last year. We launched it in September. We are already 50% higher than last year, whole year, in vaccinations in 2 months. So it says all of that cultivation that took place last year with the partners, taking them where they were, motivating them, educating them with the numerous materials that are available through the CDC and HHS. And I mention this often, planning with them, not for them, really did promote change. And the concept of planning with, not for, is sometimes hard because we all bring our values that influence our attitudes and our behaviors. That has no place here. We don't use the language that would make people feel their opinions are not valued, keeping in mind the individuals who are our partners, our stakeholders, know their constituencies better than we do. In one case, for instance, in Birmingham, Alabama, her stats are higher than the health department's stats on vaccination rates because she does creative things. For instance, they all know her. She does creative things like going into the park where the homeless people live and taking Walgreens to the park to vaccinate them at all hours of the day and night. So it's quite creative, some of the things underway. So the campaign goals, we provide timely information about the CDC's recommendations, the risk factors, and we get weekly reports from the CDC that we forward to our partners so that they are always informed. We show the correlation between influenza and other illnesses that impact this target population disproportionately. And as Jamila said earlier, we deliver the words and images in culturally and linguistically relevant ways that will resonate with them, that speaks to who they are culturally. And we are targeting the whole, as is the case with other populations being vaccinated, 6 months and older. And I heard your question earlier about the adult population, and I mean, I can tell you stories about them in some of the vaccination centers I've gone to. The only way we can get some of them vaccinated is to give them a T-shirt or a lunch bag. literally, we have to give them something. I'm trying to understand, Jamila, the correlation between I'm afraid of the vaccination, but getting vaccinated for a T-shirt or a lunch bag. That could be a whole sociological discussion, though. And we
suggest they're really not afraid of it after all. They'll get it for a T-shirt or a bag.
Give me something and I'll get vaccinated, even though it's for your health and wellness. So it's a lot of work that we have to do. These are the markets. I just want to say I'm one person on this campaign. And these are the markets that we are in currently. And it grows. In some cases, we're in other markets. These are the ones we're focused on in year two. But Washington, D.C. and Baltimore are also markets. We selected a focus, but we started in certain markets last year, and we are not as actively engaged as we were with them. However, those partners are carrying on without us. So that is really good because that's the goal. We want it to have sustainability, which means they have to claim it. And when I say partners, I'm looking at, I say to some people, it looks like an Amway tier in some cases, because it could be a leader, if you will, who has the capacity to bring on all of these other people, and before you know it, it has just mushroomed into something huge in terms of the civic engagement. Also, I think we've talked a little bit about it, but here are some of the socioeconomic, some of the barriers, if you will, that preclude or that render excuses on why. Certainly, transportation is a factor, income level, access, and as you'll see when I talk about some of the case studies, we've eliminated a lot of that because Walgreens will go to where they are. In Jackson, Mississippi, rural churches are the focus. Walgreens will go to those rural churches. So that eliminates that whole idea of I can't get to it. And, of course, language and communications. There's so much cultural history, if you will, and a lot of it is building the trust, not just for the population, but educating the medical providers on some of the idiosyncrasies that exist and the sensitivities that are needed from a communications perspective, such that people hear what you're saying and accept what you're saying. And of course, the lack of education on health risk, that's really prevalent for sure. We have to, some people within the African American community treat a health crisis as just another thing on a list of crises. And we are really putting forth a strong effort in what our stakeholders are doing to really show them, as Jamila said, how it interrupts your whole day, your quality of life. And cultural practices, many cultural practices, I've heard this in when we've gone to different vaccination centers. I use home remedies. One woman said I put something on my Facebook page about the flu vaccination, and she countered it by telling my Facebook friends that the flu vaccination kills. And then she gave all of these examples and linkages, if you will, to postings online that show the vaccination kills and why alternative remedies are so important in our community. Also, she went back to medical genocide, all on my Facebook page. And she is a Facebook friend. And, of course, cultural and religious beliefs prevalent in the African-American community. So in terms of what we're focusing on for 2012 through 2013, we are building awareness of universal recommendations 6 months to adulthood, the correct dosage recommendations for children, and we're focused on some of the common beliefs within this population, really honing in on putting together messaging that responds to what the prevailing beliefs are. And this is something we haven't seen a lot in some of the CDC and materials, where there is a recognition of how some populations feel and responding to those feelings, because in many ways, you don't really know the full spectrum of their beliefs because they're not talking to people who don't look like them. So in this case, we're getting that messaging from the people who look like them, and we're customizing new messaging in consideration of that so that we're saying, yes, we understand that happened. Now let me show you what can happen if you don't get vaccinated. Let's get back to the importance of getting, yes, that happened. Yes, Tuskegee happened. Okay. Now, let's look at what's happening today. Let's look at the stats that relate to deaths related to these diseases. Let's look at how the flu is tied to deaths from those diseases. And let's put the responsibility back in your hands for your wellness. Their trusted stakeholders can deliver that message in a way that I can't, but the people who are working out in the community can. And I mentioned to you earlier, I'm using two frames of understanding in this campaign, community organizing tactics, and that's the definition I gave you, as well as PR, and it is working through integrating those two disciplines. And if you have any questions to ask me later on related to that, I'd be happy to discuss it. And I want to talk with you a little bit about two different campaign communities. This is a new partner. She came on board in July when I was at a Church of God in Christ conference in Birmingham, and she and I were on a panel together. And she is the, her name is Yvonne Lewis, and she has actually presented, I don't know if any of you know her name, but she's presented at these conferences in the past. She's the executive director of Universal Kidney Foundation. And since that time, she has amassed all of these partners into a consortium, each of whom are, of course, related to the issue of decreased vaccination rates within the African American community. However, you see one name, but say Hamilton Community Health Center, they have 8 centers throughout Flint. So one name branches off in many of these cases to other partners. And actually, it's her campaign that we're going to use as an example during National Influenza Vaccination Week. We're going to go there, and she's having a week-long activities from Monday through Friday, kicking off with a forum at a Baptist church where some of the speakers will be present, followed up by a vaccination clinic. All of the speakers have constituency audiences that need to be vaccinated, so built-in audience, they're bringing in their clients to be vaccinated following the presentation. The other city I want to talk a little bit about is Richmond, Virginia. Richmond is an old partner. We started there last year. And whereas in most cases we're working with community organizations, churches, grassroots leaders, housing development, tenant council chairs, in Richmond, we started with the Richmond City Health District because they had a unique project where they have many clinics in the housing developments. And so they had a direct reach to the most vulnerable populations. The Richmond City Health District branched out and brought in several other partners, including Virginia Union University, which is a historically black college. And we really did want to make inroads with the HBCUs because they are a community within a community. Very often they have very much in proximity to them communities that represent the populations, and their students are doing some form of outreach. So Virginia Union is having an event actually this coming Saturday. They decided they would do a vaccination clinic at the Virginia Union, Virginia State football game. And Virginia State is about 40 minutes away in Petersburg, and they are rival football teams. So what does that mean? Huge turnout. And because it's outside, the Richmond City Health District got the Richmond Fire Department to get to donate a heated tent so that people won't have the elements to contend with. Walgreens, of course, is on board. Radio One is on board because one of their more popular DJs, Miss Community is what she's called, is a VUU alum, and she's running promos, on-air promos. There are other partners who have constituency audiences who are most in need of vaccination, such as Carver Elementary School which is near Virginia Union. It services primarily an underserved population of children. The Richmond Public Schools Nurse Coordinator. So in looking at this list, I hope you see the integration, the synergies that are taking place. These are all new partners that came on board through Virginia Union, and specifically Virginia Union's nurse. So in terms of who is targeted to be vaccinated at this huge event, students at Virginia Union who were underinsured and uninsured, and the populations that spring from these organizational partners. There will probably be other people standing in line, but those are the populations. There was a very nice poster that was developed by Virginia Union's PR department for internal as well as external audiences. The Baptist General Convention of Virginia, which represents all of the health ministries throughout the state of Virginia, disseminated the poster to its partners to get the faith-based community there. That Virginia Union is basically a Baptist-affiliated institution, also gave inroads into the churches in Richmond. So I want to mention also these individuals, these partners are doing this free. They get no compensation from us. That was a concern for some of them. And what I communicated, these are all individuals who are service providers to the target populations in their communities anyway. So I said, this is a way for you to expand your service offerings because the flu was not on their radar. And it gives you a broader reach, more credibility as the source to come to. I'm not asking you to do anything more. When you have a health fair, add the flu. Or if you're having any kind of event in partnership with another organization, add the flu vaccination. Walgreens will be there. But we do recognize the importance of good work, and so some of the things we do, we have this influential news, which is a monthly newsletter, where we profile. These three samples were summer editions where we profiled one, the African-American is the first one, the Hispanic is the second one, and Native American the third one. And so this is a way to spotlight our partners. The CDC also has a portal where they can give highlights on what's going on in their communities. And we give awards of participation, and Dr. Nadine Grazia, Jamila's boss, actually signed our awards of certification that were mailed to all of our partners. And they get to participate in summits, those who are doing extremely well, who have very good case studies of success. And we, as I mentioned earlier, we profiled them. They get to participate in webinars, which is very good because what they learn is transferable. Many of these individuals have nearly no budgets to do their work, but the webinars we're offering them are transferable to other areas that they're working in. And we have our monthly partner calls where they can information share and engage. So the takeaway message for all of this in terms of what makes this foundation campaign successful is that we listen, we understand, and then we act. As I mentioned earlier, we don't plan for, we plan with. We give them a campaign, we listen to what they see the barriers to be to their success with their constituency audiences. We provide them with the tools of understanding, such as Jamila highlighted many of them in her presentation. But we understand where they are. Culturally, we understand. I am you. I hear you. I am you. However, this is what has happened in my story. I tell the story. I tell them about the deaths in my family from chronic conditions, which are universal, if you will, among all of us. After I understand, we put together something that works specific for their community, but that can have universal value. So that's my presentation. Let me see if I'm missing anything. I want to give you some website addresses, if you don't mind. There's a CDC website address that will give you information on the campaign. Got pencils ready? http://www.cdc.gov/flu/ partners. And the CDC also has a free resources link where you can go and you can order all of this information that has been helpful to our partners free of charge. They will mail it to you, no cost. And if you have any questions about the campaign specifically, you can email me. And that's my email address and my phone number. Questions? Oh, wow, new partner. At Virginia Union?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
With that event, with all the issues related to that population receiving their vaccination, what kind of preparation was done to hopefully make that a big success in terms of educating people who would come to the game?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there will be information, flu-related information, resources at the game. However, it is the enthusiasm of the partners who build the synergy in people. So you have a nurse in this case who is driving the campaign, which she has become a publicist for the campaign. She has come out of her nurse box, if you will, to actually call media people on her own. I mean, well, I cheered them on. So a lot has to do with creating that excitement, listening to what they're saying, and using my community organizing and PR brain, if you will, to put a spin, for whatever way to say it, on how they can boost what they're doing. And then speak to how, from a branding perspective, that really promotes goodwill from the perspective of Virginia Union as a good steward to its community, not just the internal, but the broader community in which it lives. So that kind of languaging has a way of becoming contagious in the campaign when the partners are putting on events. I don't care what kind of event, we're going to make it a big kind of exciting endeavor. Rah, rah. Thank you. Thank you. Where are you in Richmond? Okay. Okay. Well, I have some partner information here. Yeah. Another question? It's this coming Saturday.
Oh, this coming Saturday.
Yes. Okay. And it's a huge turnout. Actually, they block off the street, I learned. And now that says they get a huge crowd. No, because they're new partners as of the spring of this year. And it was not my idea to do the game. It was the Richmond City Health District's idea. They're out of the box.
I have a lot of clothes. I love to take all the clothes off and use the arm to do that. Unless they can swim in, that would be a good option, too. But also, is Walgreens billing Medicaid?
Walgreens billing Medicaid.
No, for the flu vaccines, no. They do not bill Medicaid because they've donated the vaccines. The payment is through the voucher. Person gets the voucher, they get the shot, that's it. There's no billing of Medicaid through the voucher program. Now, someone may go into a Walgreens store to get a flu vaccination. In that case, they will bill Medicaid. They can build, and it may vary from state to state, too, because a lot of what pharmacies and pharmacists can do varies based on state statutes.
And I'd like to add, last year, Walgreens distributed 10 million vouchers, so that's pretty significant.
Right, so, and so if you, well, maybe you haven't seen the voucher, but the voucher has on it that the person has to sign that they're uninsured or underinsured. And if you have Medicaid, you're not uninsured for the flu vaccine.
We've been talking about Walgreens, and they told us that they could not bill Medicaid. And maybe because of our state, we can actually give the information.
Yeah, and there are some misconceptions inside and outside the government about Walgreens and what they do and what they can do, and we try to put them in touch with the leadership of Walgreens so that they can help them understand and provide them whatever documentation they need, because people are suspicious as to why Walgreens does this.
Yeah.
You know, and so they think that they're somehow doing it for the money, but it's not really. They have these huge amounts of vaccine that they'll just have to throw away. So why not vaccinate people? Of course, they probably get some kind of write-off in terms of taxes from it, but they're not billing, trying to collect money for it.
Yes. Yes. Yes, for each of the communities, there was an organization that I contacted through a contact, if you will, through the thread, the village, if you will. I come from an organizational leader. I come from the paradigm where you go to a national partner and hone in on local partners. Definitely so. And I tell them the kinds of organizations we want to be a part of the partnership, specifically churches, doctors, and other medical providers, grassroots, businesses. In Houston, for instance, we have a business partner leading the campaign, and she just came on board a week before last. And she is having her first clinic on the 25th of November. She has an exercise studio, and she has brought in the health department. She's brought in some churches. She has a grocery store donating turkey giveaways. She got a children's store to donate a bicycle. She's got vendors. She's got all kinds of things going on that day to draw the two populations that surround her business, and those are Hispanics and African Americans. She's brought on some non-traditional partners.
So I think
Little Rock, I need a connect there because I don't have a strong connect there yet, but give me your details, please.